Go in your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 26. As you know, Brother Adam was scheduled to preach tonight, so up until about 2 o'clock this afternoon or 1 o'clock this afternoon, Derek Jones thinks Adam Chappell's preaching. Well, Brother Adam Chappell's still sick, and so Brother Derek Jones is preaching tonight, amen. So we're Psalms chapter 26, if you'll go there with me. Psalms chapter 26. So when I got home today, I instantly just kind of began to meditate and pray. And I always have something on the back burner somewhere just kind of steaming there, and just in case I ever need it, because you never know. I was raised around a group of fellowship that you just never knew when you're going to preach. And my pastor didn't like when you told him no. And there were some mornings I remember several times I get a phone call at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. Hey, Brother Derek, I'm sick. You got to preach this morning. I'm like, do what? So I've always learned to keep something burning in my heart. And, I always try to have some devotional times in my life apart from preaching and teaching. And sometimes it's hard to segregate it all, because you're always reading about what you're going to be teaching, you're preaching, but also try to maintain that personal. There's sometimes I get down to pray, God gives me something. And I'm like, man, I need to share that with the church. And the Holy Ghost will remind me, no, that was for you today. And so I'll sometimes just keep that away for Derek Jones. Amen. But there's other times God will share something with you and you feel like it would benefit the church. It always benefit the church, I believe. But just more particularly tonight, I feel like God's just going to help us here. Just going to read. I won't be long tonight, most likely. I say that. I'm not planning on it. But in Psalms chapter 26, I'm going to read two verses to you. And we're going to just kind of talk to you tonight about these two verses and something that recently I just feel like the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me about. And I hope tonight maybe you can find some comfort or some help in these words as well. It says in Psalms 26 and verse 1, this is David praying, of course. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Amen. I'm going to read those verses again because it's so important. I want you to hear what it's saying, what David's praying here. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. This afternoon, as I was meditating on what to just deliver to you tonight, I was thinking of these words. I said, Lord, I remember those words. They're fresh on my heart. I know here recently I've asked you to do this a few times to me. And I felt tonight to share this with you out of Psalms chapter 26. And I don't really have a good title for you, but I do know. You ever look in your Bible sometimes and you see a heading underneath one of the chapters there? Something that maybe, like this is a Thompson Change Study Bible. And I look up here and I like this, what he said here tonight. I'm going to kind of use that as kind of what we're going to talk about. He put up here underneath Psalms 26, he put a prayer for divine scrutiny and redemption. So tonight, if I was to talk to you just for a few moments together, I want to talk to you about divine scrutiny. What that means, to ask God to scrutinize us, to look at us, to challenge us. That means, Lord, look in my heart, Lord, and search me, examine me. Now, if we look at this here, it's amazing. It's hard for the writers and commentators to agree what instance this was in David's life. But they do agree on this one fact right here at this particular time. David has a lot of enemies, as usual. What's new for David has a lot of enemies that seem to be coming against him. Now we know David had foreign enemies. I mean, he had local enemies. He had enemies in his own family. So this is nothing new in the life of David. But we see here that it seems that David's life or David's integrity is kind of becoming under attack. Now, some of the writers believe this was a time during a famine there in Jerusalem or wherever it was. We really don't know to pinpoint that. But we do know this, that David is praying probably some of the boldest prayers that you can pray to a thrice holy God. Well, David is, and this just shows us a perspective into the life of David. We know that David was a man of prayer. You read through the book of Psalms, I believe he authored some 70 or 80 of those Psalms. We read through there and we know that time and time again, man. David is a prayerful man. One place that we know he prays in the morning, prays at night, prays seven times a day. He was a very prayerful man. But when we look at the life of David, well, I would have to say, me personally, as I'm reading the Bible, this is probably one of the most boldest prayers a person can pray. Here David is. He is saying this. Now here, he is saying, "Judge me, O Lord." Or basically, if we were to read it in the original language, "Judge me, Jehovah. I want you to look into my life." This is a solemn appeal to a just tribunal, a heart-searching God. He's saying, "God, David's here praying to you today. I want you to judge me." Now, that is different than what the average heart would like to pray. Most of the time, in the age that we live in, our usual prayer would be like, "Lord, don't judge me, you know. Be merciful and graceful to me." And we usually don't pray along these lines. But David here, it almost seems like he is warranting. He's letting God know, "I want you to judge me." Now, you see how that is a bold prayer? Do you see how that is a prayer that I would consider extremely bold? As you're going to God and you're saying, "Look, Lord, I want you to judge me today." Now, of course we understand that if you're walking in integrity, that's nothing really to worry about. It seems almost here that we see David, as so far as regarded at the particular offenses with which he's being wrongly charged, and he's asking God, "Judge me. People are saying this about me. People are bringing this against me. People are saying this about me and my intentions and my perspective and my life and my rulership and me on the throne. They're saying this about me. So God, can you please judge me?" But then notice what he says, because this is where there seems to be a note of confidence here. He said, "For I have walked in my integrity." He is basically saying here, "Lord, I want you to judge me because I know what I know. I have walked in integrity. What they are saying about me, what are they trying to say about me? They are wrong. Because I know for a fact that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing." He held integrity as his principle. He walked in it. It was his practice. Now listen to this. I thought of this tonight, this afternoon as I'm studying this. What a comfort it is to have this in one's conscience. That when you go to prayer, you have such a confidence about you. And this is the way we should pray. To say, "Look, Lord, all week this week I've been integral. All week this week I have not shied away from the gospel. I have not walked away from you." I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, our prayer lives would be more effective and more productive if we're always praying from the sense of integrity. We have a generation that has no integrity. They do not feel it is necessary or it is a necessity to walk the day-to-day walk and to keep that commandment or to keep that testimony to the best of their ability. But notice this, when you pray from the position of integrity, you do not mind saying to God, "To judge me." You do not mind getting on your knees and asking the great God of heaven, "Look, Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt, by everything that I've done this week, that I've done my neighbor right, that I've done my best to be a witness. I've done my best." Now look, brothers and sisters, I like to say that's always a position of prayer, and it can be. But you need to live that integral life that you can ask God to judge you. We look at this, and I like what Charles Spurgeon said here. Because if you've ever read behind Charles Spurgeon, you have to admire how clever that man was. I mean, if you ever want to study through the book of David, let me just advertise a little bit for the man. You know, he's a Calvinist by nature. That's what he taught. That's everything he did. But notice this. He wrote something called The Treasury of David. And I have a set of commentaries there in my office. Some of the best writings about David and the life of David. Listen here. As Charles Spurgeon describes David, as he's being blamed by all these other people for all these allegations. And this is what Charles Spurgeon says. He said, "If there be peace within the soul, the blustering storms of slander which howl around us are of little consideration. When the little bird in my bosom sings a merry song, it is no matter to me if a thousand owls hoot at me from without, because I still have a song." I like what he said. He said, if that song is in your bosom, he said, "It don't matter if there's a thousand owls that are hooting at you." I thought it was clever. Man, because people will talk about you in this world. They will condemn the church. They will say this about you. Your intentions are this or that, and what they really mean or what they really think and all that. And the whole time you can have people hooting at you. But the whole time the owls are hooting at you, you can have a song of a bird in your chest, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. So notice here, David is saying, I know without a shadow of a doubt what they're saying is false because I have walked in mine integrity. Notice what he says next. Not only have I walked in mine integrity, I have trusted also in the Lord. So notice this. He said, look, Lord, I am sure not only have I walked in integrity, but Lord, I've had faith in you. I've had my confidence in you. I've put my trust in you and your righteousness. Why should I avenge myself when I know the Lord has put me here or put me on the throne, as David would say? Why should I avenge myself when I know I've got my integrity? And say, Lord, I'm not going to avenge myself. I've walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord. But notice what he says next, which is really important. Therefore, I shall not slide. He's talking about being on a slope. He's saying, look, Lord, all these accusations, all that's going on around me. He said, look, Lord, I want you to judge me because I have been integral. I have trusted you. And because I've kept my integrity and because I've trusted you, I will not slide. I will not go down the slope that they want me to go down. I will not go the way they want me to go. I've got my feet on common ground, on solid ground. I'm climbing upwards and I shall not slide. God, when you judge me because I've kept my integrity, I've done everything I can do. David, notice this here. David is saying, God, I know you've made my path straight. I know you've made a way. I've been integral. I shall not slide. You can say that tonight. That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what the winds of adversity would say, no matter what the world would say, no matter what a fallen, sinful generation would say, you can say with confidence with David, no matter how bad the storm gets, no matter what the situation is, when I trust in God, I shall not slide. My feet are firm. I can always stand my ground because I have trusted in the Lord. So David here does not feel he has anything to confess. He's praying from this perspective. Now, what a delightful state of the soul to be able to open up the heart to an all-seeing eye of God, confident that God Himself will be satisfied with what He sees. You see how this is a bold prayer? You're going to prayer and you're saying, God, look at me. I'm not going to make any excuses, though. I'm not going to make excuses about it. Everything's pure. It's ready. That's right. Come search me. What they're saying about me is wrong. I would say this is where God wants you to pray from. He's not ashamed of you praying a prayer of repentance. It's there. He'll forgive you. You have an advocate with the Father. I almost said an adversary. He's far from that. Amen. You have an adversary. He's the devil. He don't mind you coming when you're having a tough day and asking for help. There's different types of prayers. But I'll tell you this, when the world comes against you, when the devil comes against you, and your enemies come against you, you can stand with David and say, look, Lord, I've been integral. You can be like the Job there in the book of Job. You can be like Job and say, look, Lord. You can see the integral there part of Job, even though there's a lot of language and back and forth there in the book of Job. You can see a man of integrity there. And that's what God wants in this generation. He understands you'll have tough days, but you can keep your integrity in tough days. You don't have to slide in adversity. You can stand. Notice this again. I'll read those verses just to rehash them real quick. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Notice when we go and talk about what he says. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try the reins of my heart. Not many of the Lord's people would care to put their lives in that searchlight or that type of atmosphere. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is a very, very bold prayer. And let us examine a little more closely some of the words David uses. He says, judge me, examine me, put me to the test. He said, look, Lord, there may be things that I don't see. Show it to me if it's there. You ever notice a blind spot when you're looking in the mirror in your car? Man, there's been times that you looked twice, just wasn't nothing there. And all of a sudden, honk! And you snatch back over, you're like, what? And you look over there, and you're like, man, I didn't even see him. Man, I looked! You know, sometimes you may have a blind spot and you need to ask God to show you some things. Now, I'm not talking about there's some things that are obvious. Well, I understand what the Bible says, but there's times in my own life that Derek Jones had a blind spot. And as I began to ask the Holy Ghost to search me, He began to show me some things. And all I had to do is say, Lord, look, I looked twice, I looked three times, but You showed it to me, I'm going to get it right. We need to ask the Holy Ghost to examine us. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try the reins of my heart. Ask God if there's any blind spots in my life. If there's something that I honestly do not see. You hear me? I said, honestly, you don't see it. You don't know it's there. It may be an attitude, a mentality, a thought, a prejudice, whatever it could be. Lord, show it to me if it's there. Search my heart. Examine me. Put me to the test. Now notice this, brothers and sisters. When he's asking God to examine him, he's asking God to do something that's very real and very rich and very powerful. When God examines you, He's going to begin to give you and ask you questions. He's going to begin to look at you. He's going to begin to look at you and test you and try you. It's asking God to test you. How many remembers taking a test in school before? You ever took that test you just weren't ready for? You know, I remember more than I probably like to mention because I probably would lose count. That I didn't do the studying like I should have done. Amen. I just went into the test. I was unprepared. But if you ever remember, this is very rare for me, but it has happened. You remember being ready for a test? I mean, you're there. You're like, oh man, I'm here. I'm going to take this test. I know the answers. Now, it's usually probably in physical education or something for me like that in PE. I always did good in PE. You know, you just had to run in circles, and who can't do that? Amen. But when you're ready for a test, I would march into the classroom with an eager mindset, pen in hand. My whole attitude was like this: teacher, examine me. I'm ready for it. Ask me any question. Give me the test. The exam was no ordeal. It was an opportunity. And I'm telling you, in life as a believer, there's times when you ask God to examine you. You can be ready for that. And instead of it being something you're worried about, it can be an opportunity to glorify God and show, look, the world is saying this. The world is doing this. But examine me, God. I am ready. God, help us. I tell you, brothers and sisters, because sometimes the testings of the trial of life can catch us so off guard. But it's another thing when we have prepared ourselves for that test, for that examination. We are looking, we are ready. Look me through and through, God. Make a minute survey. Put me to the question. Cross-examine my evidence, Lord. Prove me, assay me, test me for reality. It is the language of a smelter. The gold had been purified in the fire, purged of its dross. It is now ready for the assayer. It is ready for the acid test. David says, Lord, examine me. Prove me. I am ready for this. Prove me, Lord. We understand as we study that process of gold being purified. All this was a very bold appeal and made by a man like David who feared the Lord exceedingly. It manifests the most solemn and complete conviction that David knew when he's praying this. That's why I call it a very, very bold prayer. Let me ask you this question. You ever been ready for a test, or you thought you were ready for a test? And then you got there and there was a few questions up there that you wasn't really expecting to be there. I'm going to take a test this week, a midterm exam, a New Testament survey in school. And I've read all the material. But it gave me a study guide last week, and I looked at it. And there's about 10 words up there. I said, what are those words? And it said up there at the bottom, it says, you'll have no trouble if you read all the material. I said, I read all the material. What are these words? I read, I saw a midterm exam. I said, no problem. I've read everything. I'm ready. And then I'm like, I can't pronounce these words. Where are they? And he says there in your reading, you know what I did? I went back into our New Testament survey study guide and book. I began digging through it the other day. And guess what? I said, there's that word. I went right over it earlier. Didn't even realize it. I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you think you're ready for the test, but you're not. But aren't you glad to know that God's grace and mercy, when you ask Him to examine you and prove you, after He's done testing you sometimes, He reveals some things about you, lets you get it right, and gets you ready for the final problem. Aren't you glad God does that to us? Examine us. Prove us. He says, try the reins of my heart. He's basically saying, try my thoughts and feelings. Try my heart and mind. Probe down into the innermost recesses of my being. You will find integrity. I've trusted you without wavering. Brothers and sisters, this is a very, very bold prayer. I was reading about one commentator tied this together in reference. He said the Israelites would bring an offering to the priest. The animal is slain and the priest takes a sharp knife and fillets it. Next he brings to light the inward parts of the animal. Each one the most, so he can most carefully scrutinize each part. What is he doing? He's making sure that the offering is without blemish. Because sometimes the blemishes may not be on the outside, but the blemishes can be on the inside. Well said. Sometimes it may not be something that is obvious. So we ask God to search us and to examine us and to prove us, to show us things that we did not know was even there. You might know what I'm talking about, other than me. Have you done this before? You'll probably do it again. God, examine us. We know we can look at the life of Jesus as the greatest example. Who doesn't admire the life of Christ? My word, what a beautiful life. What a convicting life. Anytime I feel like I'm doing something, I begin to read through the Gospels and I'm thinking to myself, man, what a Savior. What a man. What a life. He overcame it all. Satan, death, temptation. He did it with integrity. But there's times I've looked at my own life. I said, Lord, there's times I had blind spots. I didn't operate quite like You in that situation. But if it ever comes around again, I'm going to prove myself, Lord. Examine me. We look at the life of Jesus. Jesus Christ. You know, I look at David praying this prayer and I'm like, David, you're a bold guy. Because he's David. Now, I know David, we can glamorize him. He's a good guy. He was a godly man. You know, he's a man after God's own heart. You know, I know that. But man, he had some hiccups and failures. And I read a story one time of this preacher who got caught in adultery and denied it. It was a well-known person. Denied it. And all of a sudden, what he did, very cynical and twisted, got in a pinch. All of a sudden, he has this person murdered to try to cover up this situation. And not only that, it was a sad situation. The story was David. That's who it was. I gave it to you in modern language, and sometimes I heard a man do that one time. And the whole time I was like, the preacher, what the audacity! And yes, it was the audacity. And he said, oh yeah, you'll find him there in the book of 1st, 2nd Samuel. I'm like, it's David. David was a man after God's own heart. But don't you ever mistake the fact that he did those things. So for him to pray, Lord, search me. That's a bold prayer. David did commit adultery. He killed a person. Not only that, he lived like a hypocrite for a whole entire year without repenting. That's what he did. I mean, he went right to the temple. He would sacrifice the animals. He would sit on the throne. He would judge all the other cases of Israel. And the whole time he's a hypocrite. He answers so sorely for that. I've heard people before, I've read books where people try to say, if David did it, you can get away with it. I said, you don't know what David had to pay for that. Daughter getting raped. Sons getting murdered. Children dying. He answered for it. So don't ever think sin don't have a penalty. It does. Amen. It's not put in the Scripture that you can feel justified by that. No, it's put in the Scripture to warn us. You can be forgiven, but there is a high price to pay for sin. But David got to the place, some people say, was this before or after? Regardless, he prayed. Father, God, search me. Examine me. We know Psalms 51, he got it right. Lord, don't blot my name. I don't withhold the Spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. What a beautiful... Have you ever read Psalms 51 before? There's been times I would open it up and just read it. One of the most beautiful prayers of repentance that you could ever read. It was penned there. But here David is praying this. What an audacity for David to pray it. But when Jesus said that God said these words about him, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that amazing? Because he couldn't find nothing wrong with Jesus. And I look at David and I said, look, I can understand Jesus saying, praying that. But I look at David. How could David pray this after what he had done and different things? And perhaps this hymn writer, way after David, more in our years, this hymn writer put it the best. He said this, O God of matchless grace, we sing unto thy name. We stand accepted in the place that none but Christ could claim. The reason I can pray today, oh God, search me and examine me. And we can do that without feeling fearful that God's going to come in like a tyrant and destroy us. It's because the blood of Christ has been applied to our lives. David could do it before the new covenant. How much more can we go into the throne of grace? How much more should we live in integrity? How much more should we be able to pray and allow the holy, zealous scrutiny of God to come upon us? Because God has made a way for us to pray and go boldly in the throne of grace and repent and get over things and live in integrity. He sent His Spirit that we can walk in the Spirit. Man, we're living in a great dispensation. If David could pray that underneath the old covenant, we should pray it even more. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. But I want you to look with me back. If you go to Psalms 26 one more time, if you close your Bible, just go back. I want to show you something. Because we could, if we would preach this whole chapter, you understand, it's been two verses and it took us probably 25, 30 minutes just sharing those thoughts with you. I want to show you the end result of this. All right. If you're there, just give me a good amen again. All right. Let's look here. I'm going to read the first verse with you. And then I'm going to read another one in a second. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. You see that right there? When you hear, I shall not slide, we picture a person walking, don't we? Person that's walking, trying to climb, or saying, look, Lord, nothing's going to slide me. Nothing's going to move me. But then I want you to look with me down. I believe it is in verse 11. Let's start in verse 11 down here. Let's look at it. But as for me, I would walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. What I want you to understand today is this. Here the psalmist says that he is on level ground now. When you ask God to search you and to examine you and to prove you, you can say, God, I will not slide. And the reason I'm not going to slide is because you have put me in an even place. My feet are on solid ground. Because if you allow the Holy Ghost to search you and correct you and deal with you, you will always find yourself on even ground. He'll keep you there. As a matter of fact, that's the key to living there. It's asking God to examine you and to search you, to humble you and to show you. How many wants to live on that common and evil, even ground? Amen. Stand there so you don't have to slide. Can we stand on our feet tonight? Amen. Sister Morgan, you'll play the piano.